Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's that time again for Successapes. We've got your recipe for success in business. I'm your host, Lori Wilk, and we are live today. What a great day. It's beautiful. We're actually coming to you live from Florida, and a shout-out to a lot of the folks around the country who are not in our sunshine. My guest today is a super inspiration. This is a woman who's overcome so much adversity. She is a supporter of an advocate, a disability advocate. She's an artist and a talk show host and a professional speaker, so please help me welcome to the show, Myra Goldick. Hi, Myra.
Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I tell you, let's start our show at the beginning and share with our audience just a little bit about your background.
Oh, boy. Okay, we'll just give them a quick brief overview. When I was born into a rather dysfunctional family, had Austrian mother and a Trinidadian father during a time when it wasn't so chic to be interracial back in New York City. And we were very poor, and my family broke up immediately. And we had all the problems that poverty can bring. We had some substance abuse, homelessness, hunger, single-room occupancies, all the things that come along with poverty and broken homes, particularly with being raised by my mother, who was a foreigner and was barely speaking English herself at that time. So life was rough as a little girl, but not that different than a lot of other people who found themselves in a poverty situation. Mm-hmm. What changed my life was becoming completely paralyzed at the age of 10 by one of the most dreaded childhood diseases of that time, which was polio. Thank heavens it is not one of the things that parents fear at this point in Western civilization because of the vaccine. So, you know, all things considered, I was very lucky. I did not die, even though I was expected to. So here I am.
Well, we are happy you are here because for our audience, they cannot see you through the phone, but you are just this like charming, beautiful woman who, no matter what is going on in your life, you're like, I'm here, I'm going to live it, and you know, I'm coming through. I am going to command that my life, you know, is active and is, you know, contributory as possible. So take us to the current and share with us what you're doing right now, and you know what your messages to the world and how we can help you.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. I love reaching out and giving people a boost and a hand who have not yet experienced the growth that I experienced. I didn't suddenly evolve into who I was. I went through a period, particularly through my teenage years, of self-pity, self-consciousness, all the things that usually happen when somebody's life has been dramatically changed by an illness or an accident, especially at that age, because being a teenage brain is a freaky brain to begin with.
Right.
So self-conscious and so needy, and, you know, so you put that all together. And I was pretty much a mess. And I had a mentor in my last, between my between the third year and fourth year of high school, who saw something in me. And she was so wonderful. She gave me some fantastic exercises that really made me think. Actually, she was a teacher. She made me think about who I was, what I wanted out of life, and made me realize that ghosts, and when I say ghosts, I mean old childhood beliefs and self-limiting beliefs, were my biggest enemy, and I had to get rid of them. And she gave it to me for extra credit. And she didn't give it to the class. She singled me out. And it's a method that I have used to bring myself through this point in my life. And I share it whenever I can. And I've realized through the years that it's not about me. It's about what I've learned and what I can share with others. So that's really my mission. I write about it in my books. I speak about it whenever I have the an engagement, a speaking engagement. I give workshops. I want to help people who are suddenly dealing with challenges, particularly health challenges in their life. And whether your audience knows it or not, and this isn't the most sexy topic, but disability is the fastest growing minority in the U.S., probably the world, because we're all living long. And we're living through all kinds of ailments.
I'm going to share with you on that story. You know, you are so right about that with the disabilities, and I hope I can also inspire you in that area, because we haven't had a conversation about it, but I think our listeners would like this. One of my very close friends, her name is Dr. Rosemary Rossetti, and she was in a park and going for a bike ride. That was her plan for the day. And she was with her husband. They were celebrating their third wedding anniversary. And she had an 80-foot-tall tree that weighed 3.5 tons that collapsed on her at that moment in time. And she became a spinal cord injury and became a spinal cord injury survivor. And you know, it takes so much every day for her to be able to just go through a day. But she was determined, just like you, that she was going to deal with the cards that she had. And she went through rough periods of, you know, depression at the beginning when at first the, you know, injury happened. And it was a year before she could even head in back towards a better direction. But she every day gets up and she, you know, gets out and she travels as a speaker just like you do on her own. And she, you know, needs her wheelchair, and she has her vehicle that is, you know, configured. And she's just like you, being an inspiration to where she designed a home called UDLL. It's the first demonstration home for people of disabilities, Universal Design Living, UDLL.com. So I'm hoping you can check that out. And I want you to be, you know, connect with Rosemarie, because both of you are dynamic women.
I'd love to connect with her, because there is power in numbers. There's power in support of other people. And this is something that hasn't changed very much since the Americans Act for Disabilities. It hasn't grown. People are still uncomfortable when they don't understand a challenge that a person has. The unemployment rate is still about the same as it was back in 1993 when they first passed the act for Americans with Disabilities. So my job is to explain to corporate leaders and various employment opportunities that these people with challenges can be one of the best assets they can bring into their business.
Yes.
And they're the most loyal. When you give a person a chance to grow or get off the poverty line, because getting disability payments will really put you on a poverty line, and because it's barely enough to survive, I think the most that you can get from a disability payment is $1,100 a month.
Oh, dear.
Who can live on that? You know, it's really, really difficult. You are really going to live a rough life besides the challenge. So people with challenges need to be able, the ones that are functioning well, need the opportunity to go to work. And there are huge benefits for the company that puts these people to work. There are tax breaks, there are incentives, there are even organizations that will help with the pay towards this person's salary. So there's a lot that can be gained by adding people to your payroll that we would not normally consider able-bodied, quote unquote, whatever that is, because as far as I'm concerned, everybody's got a disability of some kind.
Exactly.
Most of them are hidden.
You're just amazing. So, no, in being this disability advocate, are you out there then in the corporate world working with the businesses in that capacity that you had just mentioned for them, you know, guiding them to hiring and incorporating people, you know, with, you know, disabilities into their companies? Are you actively doing that as an advocate?
Yes, in fact, I'll be working just this year with the Center for Independent Living and getting to corporations and to politicians. A lot of people don't understand that a tiny change can make all the difference. For example, if somebody is blind or legally blind, they are able to get to their place of employment, but they may need a specially equipped computer that enlarges the type, or they may need Braille. They may be a brilliant accountant, but blind. And
right.
Most people would think, oh my goodness, they're blind. They're going to be out all the time. They're going to be sick. They're not going to be able to fulfill their responsibilities. Well, it's the complete opposite. 90% of the time you're going to get overzealous employee when you give them a chance.
Right.
Because they're so grateful.
I met a young lady who was a blind international tax expert. So her whole job was all about numbers. And when somebody in the government had heard of her looking for a particular position, they discouraged her from the position in a discriminatory manner, actually identifying her, you know, disability. And she took it to court, and she won. And in another, she again worked in the government, our own government, in another area, and again ran in that same kind of problem along the way, trying to get promoted and move up. And somebody else again tried to discriminate against her, thinking that she wasn't capable because she had this disability. And again, she said, "Well, you're not going to get away with that." And she, you know, proceeded and filed as well and won. So, you know, I think that it's really sad out there that people could even be willing to feel that somebody that was, you know, educated and qualified and experienced for a job could not do that job because that their disability was going to be, you know, in the way, to the point that they would actually say it, you know, and it's sad. It's very sad, but she did not let that stop her, and she got some very amazing positions and the compensation that she was entitled to. So that's a great, I mean, it's just a great, you know, yay. I'm like cheering for her going, good, you did not, you know, let somebody stand in your way of doing what you were qualified to do. And I just think that's very important in the world that, you know, if you've got gifts and talents and skills, you should be doing them, and that other people shouldn't tell you that you can't do them and judge in that way. But, you know, I guess reality is a little different.
But I was laughing because I was thinking about the ignorance of the person that tried to block her way and not knowing what kind of legal hot water they could get into.
Oh, they were. That's another whole story. I mean, you know, multiple times you would think that people would just really understand, but they don't. And they, like you said, it cost them from making those mistakes. But rightfully so, she was educated and experienced and deserved the job and should not have been discriminated against. So I'm happy that you're out there as an advocate. Can you talk about your books? Because I'm sure that you have content that people would definitely want to read.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much, Lori, for asking that. Well, one of the first things I did was I co-authored a book with Les Brown and Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield. That was my beginning, and it was called Mastering the Art of Success, along with several other people who have overcome and learned to manage success and attract it into their life. And I got the writer's bug. So I began then, and I had gone through some new health challenges because polio is a peculiar ailment. It's a neurological, it's a virus that attacks your central nervous system, and it's actually a neurological disorder after the virus actually leaves the body. And what happens to a huge percentage of polio survivors is that they develop post-polio syndrome. So the part of their bodies that they were able to redevelop and live normally, thinking that it was not going to come back and haunt them, and they had charge, they were in charge of their body for the most part, whatever they were able to rehabilitate, which was my case. And suddenly you start going backwards. I was at the height of my career in corporate America when I started falling, getting weaker, experiencing unbelievable pain. And eventually, I had to leave a magnificent six-figure and a fabulous income because I couldn't travel, continue to travel all over the United States and run in and out of major department stores. And I, of course, did the boohoo stuff and cried. And then I went back to school and retrained. And I became a millinery designer on 7th Avenue. And I really, really loved that. But as it progressed, after 10 years, I couldn't do that anymore either. So I retired to Florida with my children grown, with my husband, and I started painting again and writing. And that's when I wrote the Mastering the Art of Success chapter. And I got that writer's bug. And I decided to share what it was like to get out of a procrastination mode. When you get stuck because life isn't going the way you want it to go and you're finding yourself feeling frustrated, not knowing which way to turn, I go back to what I was taught by that mentor who got me out of the poor me syndrome at 17. And I practice it every time that negative feeling comes. And I wrote about it in Focused, Unstuck, and Back in Action. I even put exercises in the book. And I promise if you do the exercises, really do them, you will learn exactly what is holding you back, exactly what your false self-limiting beliefs are, and what you really, truly want out of life and how to begin to move forward. And after I finished that book, I got so excited, I had to have more surgery. I had to have a total fusion of my neck. So while I was recovering, which stopped my speaking career for 8-9 months, I started doing internet radio and writing my story. But the background of the book, which is Dancing on Our Disabilities, is my story, but it's not really about me. It's a story of perseverance, passion, and faith, and acceptance. And it can work for anybody because we all have disappointments in our life. That's just the way life is. It could be relationship disappointments. It could be health disappointments, financial disappointments. But we can never let these things stop us. It's not what happens to us, it's how we react to what happens to us. So I wrote those books, and I loved every minute of it. And I'm actually thinking about writing another one.
So as you
that,
should.
That's really what
as
I
you
think.
Should. And so I do have a question here. So the fact that you have embraced this writing and this communication, and obviously you're an eloquent speaker and very, you know, versed in business, have you considered creating online downloadable workshops or programs that people then could, you know, participate in, where, again, you don't have to do the traveling, but you're leading them down, because your messages about being focused and unstuck and going through exercises and figuring out what your limiting beliefs are and then getting past those and seeing a positive upswing in your life, and then you're dancing on your disabilities and you talk about the perseverance and the passion and the faith and the acceptance, that just to me resonates with online downloadable education. And I would love to see
yes.
you do that.
I have thought about it, and I'm seriously thinking about doing it. I am such a people person that it's difficult for me not to have physical and eye contact with people. I miss it.
Right.
But
right.
adding it to my agenda doesn't mean I have to stop being out there and meeting wonderful people like you.
Oh, thank you. And don't feel like if you made the course available online and people could work with you on that program for, you know, a certain number of weeks and consume this online, you could have your own groups that then come together, you know, once, twice, three times a year. And so you can have that energy of the people who have consumed your course, now they become the ones that would go on to the live event, the live workshop. And
right.
maybe that would, you know what I mean? So let's say that you had thousands of people that consumed the course online, and then of that thousands, hundreds of them decided to show up at your live type of events. So it would literally be the way that you bring in people to your overall, you know, Myra Goldick organization, and helping them to, you know, live and improve their lives, and then meet with the people as the next type of, you know, level that you work with them, as well as even, you know, many of the speakers your caliber with so much world experience, they host, you know, private VIP type of days. So you may have in your group of thousands of people that consume your products and content online, they may sign up for a very high dollar, you know, day with you. And that might, you know, that could be anywhere from the, you know, $10,000 to $35,000 for the day. And then it would really be worthwhile, and you would enjoy it, and it would be special. And it would really just be, you know, contributing and helping people at whichever level you're able to, and opening up a lot of doors for a lot of people to get the benefit of being educated by you.
I think that is an absolutely fabulous idea, and I knew when I met you. Well, I have to tell your listeners that Lori is one of these people who radiates an energy of positive. It's just a warm feeling that you get around her, and she's very open and very, very accepting of the environment she's in. So it doesn't surprise me that you're thinking so, I guess, business-like in a positive way, because your thinking is very orientated to that level of thinking. How many more people can benefit from your message than just one at a time? You're absolutely right. Fabulous. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. So the folks that are listening, how do they get in touch with you? What avenues do you participate? Let's talk about the online participation, because I do know that you're in social media. So can you share with us some of the places we can find you in social media and some of the things that you do?
Well, all you have to do is Google me, because no one else has a name like me, Myra Goldick. So everything I ate for breakfast for the last 2 weeks comes up. But the easiest way to do it is just to go to my website, MyraGoldick.com. It will tell you about the radio shows. You'll be able to find out about the books. You can sign up for my newsletter. You'll get a bonus with the newsletter. It talks about all of my guests that are on my show. You can visit me on Facebook, on Pinterest, I'm on Stitcher, iTunes, TalkShoe.com, and of course, every show is on my show archives. And I'd love to hear from you. Everybody.
Talk about your show. What do you do on your show?
Well, I have two shows. I have Never Say Impossible, and I think that speaks for itself, because everything is possible when you believe it is. And if you put self-limiting beliefs out there, it won't be possible. So that's, and it's business orientated. It's about the success of other people. I love to spread information about successful people. In fact, you're going to be on my show in April.
Yay.
And that's what that's about. And the Dancing on Our Disabilities is a metaphor for dancing through life with your heart, your mind, and your spirit, whether or not you have legs. It's dancing to the music of life and embracing all the joy and beauty that's around us. So that's what Dancing on Our Disabilities Radio is about. And we also have some medical information. We have interviews with energy healers and holistic practitioners. So it's very interesting.
I am so impressed, and I would encourage our listeners out there is to find things you can even start in your own community and find opportunities to get out and connect with people that are outside of the circles that you have been, you know, doing business in. You know, look for networking type of groups, whether it be for breakfast or lunch or afternoon or dinner, and find places where you can meet new people. And even if you just meet a few people, new people at a time, and just keep going, by the time a year goes by, the amount of people that you will have met, I mean, each person has their own circle of contacts and connections. And I kind of live with this backyard theory that says, pretty much everything that you want is probably there's somebody in your own area, like your own backyard, that really either knows how to do what you want to do or has connections to people who can help you to get done what you want to do. And don't be afraid to reach out and, you know, have a new experience. So any last thoughts on that, Myra?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. And if you happen to be recovering from anything, even a job loss, and you feel that you're out of focus, do not isolate yourself. Get out there. Listen to Lori's advice. You have a lot to offer the world, whether you know it or not. And there are people out there who can offer a lot of things to you as well. So it's really about sharing and improving your life and your ability to connect with other people. It's so important. And every word of what you said is key to creating success in your life, no matter what limitations you may be facing.
Folks, we hate to come to that time of our show where it's time to go. I'm your host, Lori Wilk. It's been a wonderful program today with Myra Goldick as our guest. I look forward to being on your show, Never Say Impossible. Until we get together again, everybody, be safe. Goodbye for now. Thank you.
Thank you.